we've been given this, the spirit in us to live a life that says, what's next, Papa? God, what's next? And so I want my, so the healing is to not sit on the sidelines. It's to put myself out there and say, okay, what's next? I wonder if I could do that. And not for my own sake, but for the sake of others and for just this greater life that I think we're all called and have the opportunity to step into.
Yo, 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 it's your girl and boy CT. I'm Cindy Barnes.
And I'm Travis Barnes.
And we are the founders of the Overcomers Podcast.
The Overcomers Podcast is designed to help you overcome adversity and live your dreams. Every week we will be sharing stories of people who found their strength in their struggle. The Overcomers Podcast is sponsored by Journey 333, and that's a lot of threes, so let me tell you what it is. It's fitness, coaching, and nutrition. It is a place where we help you to look better, live better, and feel better, and it is mind, body, spirit. Today, we're going to help you get your mind right with our special guest.
Hello, Overcomer Nation. You are going to love today's episode. Are you an overcomer? Are you ready to scale some mountains, literally, metaphorically? Well, today, I want you to meet Jeff Harmon. He's a seasoned executive leadership coach and founder of Brilliance Within Coaching. Brings over two decades of experience, expertise into empowering leaders to exceed their goals and embrace a life of purpose and fearlessness. Get this, folks. He faced a life-changing diagnosis of a degenerative nerve condition that put him in a wheelchair in 2017. Now here comes the overcoming story. Jeff transformed his outlook on life, dedicating himself to igniting a passion for meaningful leadership in others and embracing fearlessness in life. To this end, in September 2025, coming up, he plans to climb Mount Kilimanjaro in September 2025. So what's your excuse? What are you going to do? I can't wait for Jeff to share about this. He plans to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. And for those who don't know, that's in Tanzania, Africa. This is a mission that epitomizes his belief in confronting fears and living adventurously. An author and sought-after speaker, he champions a leadership style that's rooted in service, joy, and community impact, drawing inspiration from personal challenges and biblical principles of faith and the power of community. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Travis, I am so excited. I'm thrilled to be here.
I am thrilled to have you here. Our friend Dan McDonald, the friend that we have in common, I'm so grateful to him for making this intro. I love stories such as yours. We don't go through anything significant unless it's to be a benefit to other people, and you are certainly making it a benefit and an inspiration to others. So if you could, I guess, let's go to that diagnosis first, if you don't mind. Share with our audience a little bit about what that is and what happened. And
yeah. So it was, it came out of the blue, honestly. So 2006... I'm 6'3" when I'm standing, and I'm a big guy. I've always been a little clumsy, but started to get more clumsy. And my wife said, "Come on, let's get it checked out." And so we did. And battery of tests. Thankfully, as I like to say, I found the oldest neurologist in New Jersey who actually seen it all. And he did one last test, and I was diagnosed with adrenomyeloneuropathy, AMN. And life didn't really change. I was getting, like I said, a little clumsier, but life at that time didn't really change. My oldest daughter was born about a year later. Very active, and AMN is it's genetic, so it's X-linked. I got it from my mom, but she didn't have any siblings, any brothers, any boy cousins, really. So there was no evidence. That's why I called it out of the blue, and slow progressing. But then as my gait got a little wonkier in 2013, I took a bad step and broke my left tibia and fibula. And that hit the fast forward button on AMN. And I never got back to where I was before I fell. And then, like I said, hit the fast forward button on AMN and its progression on my legs by far peripheral nerves. And 2016, my wife looks at me and says, dude, you're going to fall and hit your head. And you're worth more to me alive than dead. So,
thanks for the thing.
So, we started the process of getting a wheelchair, and on January 3rd, 2017, the wheelchair that I still use today, very blessed that my wife is a teacher and insurance covered a tie light. Those that maybe don't know, tie light is near the top of the echelon of ultralight wheelchairs. And so this is my life. And so been in nearly full time in the wheelchair since that point.
So that's since 2018-ish?
Beginning of 2017 is when I got the chair.
Okay. So let me ask you this. How did your mindset progress? I mean, you know, things were getting wonkier, you take the fall, you go in the wheelchair. I mean, now you have a mindset that's declaring that you're going to climb Mount Kilimanjaro in 2025. Was that there in 2017, or did you go through something to make you flip a switch? You know,
no, it definitely wasn't there. I have to be honest. I was in denial. Like, even after I got the wheelchair, I would still choose to not use it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I was in denial, not denial, like, why me? I was just like, well, you know, I'm going to make like life work. But you have to also understand my story. Even as a growing up, I avoided risk and adventure. I could talk a good game, but I was on the sidelines most of the time. And so, you know, between then and now, I think it was always, I wonder if I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like this big, bold declaration. It would be almost sheepishly like, I wonder if I could do that. So a friend of mine hosts a sprint triathlon in central Pennsylvania every May. And I thought, I don't have a bike and I don't have a racing chair, but I wonder if I could swim. So I swam the 500 meter swim leg on a triathlon on a team. I was like, okay, but it didn't necessarily ignite anything. But it was always like, I wonder. And then I would say in 2021, I had this thought, I wonder if I could do a Spartan race. And by divine intervention, I got connected with Zach Pabin down in North Carolina, who's the co-founder of More Heart Than Scars, an amazing organization. And turns out they help people like me do Spartan races.
Really?
The system over the last decade. And
what's the name of his company that helps people?
Their charity is More Heart Than Scars.
Okay, More Heart Than Scars. And you got in touch with him. What year was it you got in touch with him?
I would say about 21. And nothing really happened at the time, but we finally said, okay, May of 23, I'm going to do a race. And so I drove down to North Carolina and did a race. And then around that time, again, it's like this notion of like, I wonder if the thought popped into my head, I wonder if I could climb Mount Kilimanjaro.
Mm-hmm.
And the breadcrumb trail, the divine breadcrumb trail, kept getting dropped and led me to a conversation with one of the More Heart Than Scars team, who said, who I heard overheard talking about it, them doing Kilimanjaro. I asked them, could I do it? And he said, he looked at me and he goes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And love so that, and then, so there it is, where it's on the calendar. And a friend of mine looked at me and said, so what are you going to do with that?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, well, you could climb Mount Kilimanjaro and it'd be cool. But what are you going to make that? How are you going to make that really matter? And so that's when this vision, something really impactful, started to take form. Like, I'm not going to waste this moment. It has to be about more than me.
Okay. So it's going to be a symbol. What is the symbolism in climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, or what is it really about?
Yeah. So, what is it really about? I want it to be a shout to the world, and a shout to anybody who has limitations, either society puts them on them, self-imposed limitations, or something that's real, physical limitations like what I have, and that they see a path, no matter the limitation, of making their impossible happen. And that's why we are in the formation stages of our 501c3 called My Impossible, because we want this to be not just, I have a friend who says, this has to be more than inspiration porn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get that moment, that buzz, that good feeling, and then it's gone.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so what we're on the mission to do is, yes, of course, climb Kilimanjaro, but then support other either organizations or individuals to help them achieve their impossible.
So let's talk about that then for a second. To many people, they would think that this is an impossible feat for you to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. Well, what strategies are you developing to achieve this? You know, there's an old African proverb says, if you want to go fast, you know, go alone, but if you want to go far, go together. So it's great that you found a team, More Heart Than Scars, that you know, you can probably put some teamwork into this event. What are the strategies that you're developing to do what many people would say is impossible?
Well, I'm hooked up with More Heart Than Scars, and I'm so blessed by them, because they know this isn't impossible. They took a wheelchair athlete up Kilimanjaro in 2022. If they're going to do it again in 2026 after mine next year. And so they have this belief in me and in the system that they created over the last 10 years to help people like me and those in wheelchairs to do Spartan races. They're applying that same technology, if you will, to enable me to be able to get to the mountain. But this is going to be, you talk about going together. We are in the process of building a team of potential of upwards of 30 people to go up the mountain, because, wow. In order to support me in my chair, my all-terrain chair, there's a rope system and a group of people around me with ropes in front, on the side, in the back. And as you can probably imagine, climbing any mountain is rigorous. It's tiring. And so we're creating three teams of people that will be on the chair with that rope system at any given point. And so they're going to be rotating on and off. So, you know, we're building this team of 30 people, and then it's from what I understand, it's law in Tanzania that for every climber, there has to be two porters.
Okay.
So if you think about that, there's going to be 30 of us going up, and then there's going to be 60 porters.
Huh?
So you're talking this group, this collect, this in mass together, 90 people that are going to be going up the mountain.
Wow.
Together.
Wow. Together. That is awesome. And for those of us that are able to watch this on YouTube, would that be that mountain behind you? Oh, it cut out just a little bit. Oh, I lost you there. Hold on 1 second. I wonder what happened. Jeff, we lost.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. For those of us listening on or watching on YouTube, would that be that mountain behind you then?
Yeah, that's Kilimanjaro.
Okay. Wow.
19,341 feet.
Looks like it's sitting right above the clouds there, you know? Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. So let me ask you this. How does your faith play a role in your decision to do this? And let's just start there. Let's start with the faith component. Then I want to get over to your wife and what she thinks about this adventure.
Yeah. Well, my life in God is everything. It is the point. And so for me, I kept checking in, like, am I supposed to do this? Is this what you have for me at this point in my masculine initiation? And the green light kept going green.
Mm-hmm.
Never went yellow, never went red. And so, you know, so that I think is one part of it. And the other part of it is my friend Zach from More Heart Than Scars, he reminds me often of the story in Matthew, in the Bible, and where these friends take their friend who is disabled to see Jesus. It's crowded, they can't see him. So they go up on the roof, they break a hole through the roof, and they lower him down to see Jesus and to be ultimately healed. And the picture, I mean, that's an amazing picture just unto itself. But for me, that picture is really of what we're doing, whether it's a Spartan race or Kilimanjaro, is it's a collective, it's a unit that's experiencing this, whether you're the friend who's disabled, me, whether it's the people that are bringing you up to that mountaintop or to the top of that roof, so to speak, or it's the witnesses. Because I cannot tell you, Travis, the number of people who are already coming up alongside of us and cheering us on. And what I've come to see in that story is that every person in that story was transformed, not just the guy who ultimately got healed.
Yeah.
And so to me, this is the gospel. What we're gonna hopefully, even if we don't get to the top, to be frank with you, because we might not. Somebody could get altitude sickness. I could get altitude sickness. And it may not end up happening, but to me, this is the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's just it's the lens I look at everything at, including this.
Let's go a little deeper on that, because I don't think that, in Matthew, you know, the person in the story gets a physical healing. But it sounds to me like you're describing a healing beyond physical, that, you know, people that are joining you are in need of, and perhaps, you know, in need of yourself, or in need of renewing the healing that you've been receiving since you've stepped out and been bold and courageous and adventurous and, you know, living life to the fullest. So how would you describe the healing that you feel that it's going to bring to others and yourself to climb Mount Kilimanjaro?
Yeah, I mean it. You're right, Travis. And looking at it that way, that it's not necessarily a physical healing, but the healing that I've been experiencing is a healing from fear and the chains of fear. And that I would say that that is the healing or the liberation that I've been experiencing. And to live a life that says, Eugene Peterson, who did the Message translation of the Bible, I think it's in Romans, he says the way that Peterson translated it is that we've been given the spirit in us to live a life that says, what's next, Papa? God, what's next? So the healing is to not sit on the sidelines. It's to put myself out there and say, okay, what's next? I wonder if I could do that. And not for my own sake, but for the sake of others and for just this greater life that I think we're all called and have the opportunity to step into. It's not an easy life. It's a rigorous life. There's no shortcuts. But to live a life of freedom and faith is unbelievable. And even if there are those that are around me that don't believe the same as I believe or know what I know, that's okay. Because I know that they're going to be healed, and it's a way of testifying to them without even using words.
Yeah, that's really, really good. Let me ask you, for our audience that's looking for their own courage, for their own inspiration, are there certain verses, mantras that you use when you remind yourself that you're not to have a spirit of fear or those kind of things? What are you going to be repeating as you're going up this mountain and actually as you do all your endeavors? Because I have a friend that is a very able-bodied individual that does not like to go near water, and he has full use of both arms, legs, and everything else, you know. So I think it's very courageous, even the description of the triathlon earlier, you know, like that takes a lot of courage to get in there knowing that the legs aren't working right. And how do you inspire yourself? I mean, what do you lean in on to do these things? You know, beyond, I mean, I guess in a company with your faith, of course.
Yeah, of course. Well, this is a fresh insight that really is a week old. I was just at a conference with some amazing people. And what I realized is most of my life, I got stuck in how in the world could I do that? I don't see how I can do that. And that helped me back so many times. And what I've come to realize, this is a big shift for me, is I've decided to start saying yes a lot more. Not yes to everything, because that's not reasonable. But where it's appropriate to commit or say yes and then figure it out. I was even talking to an esteemed at this conference. He's a Harvard professor, just an amazing guy, a little bit older. And he, years ago, he ran the Detroit Marathon twice. And we're talking at dinner, and he says, oh, I want to do one more marathon before I get too old to do that. And his name is David, David Williams from Harvard. And I said, David, I think I called him Dr. Williams. I said, Dr. Williams, commit and then figure it out. Smile. He smiled. And he.
That's a piece of advice right there.
Yeah. And so I've just tried to start to say yes, even with starting the not-for-profit. Like, Travis, I have never worked in I have volunteered for, but I've never worked in. I've never started a not-for-profit. I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But I just decided the impossible was in front of me. I decided to say yes after checking in with God, saying, is this the right move? Is this where you want me? And having that clarity, and then saying yes and saying, you know what? I'm going to just figure it out.
Well, this is very opposite of what most people do. Most people don't take a step until they know how to do it. You're saying take the step and then you'll figure out how to do it. And it's a faith-based approach, right? You'll leap and the net will appear, right? You know, that's really good. And, you know, it is the power of making your commitment that keeps us from procrastinating about figuring things out, right? You know, now we have to, and now the pressure's on. Yeah. You know, Jeff, I got another question for you. Sometimes people go through circumstance, and I would say that God doesn't take one thing from you without giving you another. And obviously, you know, you've been given a spirit of courage. You know, you've removed fears from your life that were there when you were an even able-bodied individual, you know. So have you found there to be certain gifts in your circumstance that you'd share with the audience that, yeah, what would they be?
Yeah, I mean, even before all this shift in this, in whether it be Spartan Races or Kilimanjaro, I felt really early on, in terms of when I got into the wheelchair, I felt really early on that I'm called to be in this to normalize disability.
Mm-hmm.
I love it when I'm in an airport or grocery store and a little kid I could see whispering to his mom, and I know what he or she is whispering. Why is he in a wheelchair? And I see it. And if I do see it, I have the opportunity. I'm like, or I'll wheel over. And I'm like, do you want to know? And so part of the calling I believe on my life in being the situation that I'm in is to normalize disability, to destigmatize it, so that kid is not scared.
Yeah,
of it.
That's really good. You're saying many people, boy, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change, right? Many people end up in a wheelchair and they're going to say that they've been cursed. It's almost like you're saying that God chose a champion, somebody that can normalize a situation and be a champion for those that need it to be normalized, that need the stigma removed, that you can step out with that spirit of courage and do that. That's awesome. That's a great perspective. And you know, obviously the purpose for which you've been chose, you know, so that's really good. God has a plan and purpose, doesn't he?
Yeah. And I'll just take it even a little bit broader. You know, I talked about limitations. So even today, while I do spend 98% of my day in my wheelchair, I don't consider myself like massively disabled. Like, I'm not a paraplegic. I can stand at the counter and cut, you know, cut vegetables or transfer easily, you know. So, I'm aware I'm not fully able either.
Right.
And I've just had this insight recently that I bet a lot of people feel kind of in the middle, where they feel limited in some way, but not fully limited, but they're also not fully able. Again, maybe it's they have a lot of weight that they're carrying around weight-wise. Maybe they had an issue where they had to leave school, or failed out of college, where, you know, they're kind of, I call it this weird, murky middle ground. And I think that's part of what I want to convey to the world in this climb is you may be limited, but the possibilities are still endless of what you can do.
That's really good. That's really good. How many of our limitations are self-imposed? And how real? I guess you had a real opportunity to discover that perhaps you had more limitations before you've had your health issues than you do today. It seems to appear that way. At least your approach to life, you know? So good. So good. So you're going to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. You're establishing the Impossible Foundation? Or
My Impossible.
My Impossible. My Impossible. My Impossible. And essentially the question in that foundation is, what are people currently looking at as impossible for them, and then helping them to see the possibilities of their life? Now, with this Mount Kilimanjaro, is there any sort of sponsorships that go on? Are there people that are getting behind it and saying, you know, yeah, we want to see Jeff do this for their reasons, or just to support you? Or
Yeah. So as you can imagine, to get 30 people up the mountain is not a small price tag. So we want to, that's one thing we want to do. Another thing that we want to do is, we want to pour into financially the communities where our porters that are taking us up, where they live and work. And because the vision for the company that we're going up the mountain with is to be able to attract more climbers like me who are in a wheelchair or disabled in some way. And so what we want to do is make this community of porters more sustainable, and that they could thrive, because the economy and the economics in Tanzania are really difficult. And so if we can liberate these porters and their families and these communities to be even more of a resource, we want to do that. So that's our second. So number one, is get up the mountain with 30 people. Number two, we want to pour into that community in Tanzania. Number three is to do a documentary about the journey. And number four is we want to come alongside people and organizations who are doing this work of making their impossibles happen, and provide grants to those people or organizations. And so we have a goal to raise $300,000 to fund all of that. And we are going to be actively looking starting on April 1st, because I'm not able in the moment to raise funds, because the not-for-profit is in the final stages of getting approved. But hopefully April 1st, to be able to start going and having conversations to get sponsors of folks and companies that want to come alongside us, be a part of that, and make the impossible possible.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And will there be a website or a place where people can visit to follow up on after this podcast and see what's happening?
Yeah. So our website is www.myimpossible.org. That's also the name of the organization. And it's a simple site right now because we're not able to ask for donations or sponsorship. So what folks can do is go to that site. There's a short video, me inviting you into be a part of what we're doing, and then a form where people can give us their information. And we're going to start a weekly email. By the time this runs, it will already probably be going, and people can track the progress of the team. And then when we are ready to start raising sponsorship dollars, that'll be a way for people to get connected that way too.
That's awesome. And are there any good social media channels to follow you on, so that people can kind of see what you're doing? Or
not yet. It's all process. So
yeah, sure.
Not yet, but maybe by the time, I would guess by the time this program, this episode runs, we'll be on Instagram or some other platforms that people can follow us on.
And is there a way that if anybody wanted to reach out to you direct to learn more about your foundation, or what's the best way to do that?
So go to myimpossible.org. That's the best way to do that.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Any final words of inspiration for our audience?
I would just challenge you all with whatever is on that life has presented you with, is say yes, commit, and then figure it out.
Say yes, commit, and then figure it out. That's awesome. That's so good. I'm going to take that advice. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. Jeff, you're an amazing person. Thank you for the inspiration that you've shared with our listeners today. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening, Overcoming Nation. Make sure if you haven't already, give us a 5-star rating. Make sure that you share this and subscribe so you can see all of our future content.
That's right. And if you'd like to be a guest on a future show, go to overcomers-podcast.com. If you're interested in our franchise opportunities with Journey 333, then go to www.journeyfitness333.com. And finally, if you like what you heard today and you feel like you're somebody that needs a bit more coaching, go to travisbarnes.com. Yeah! Overcoming!